Would you pray with me this morning? Good and gracious God, giver of all gifts, we thank you so much for this time and the gift of gathering here this morning to worship you. We ask God that this word that we heard read would become a living word, the witness to the living Christ, and that you would speak into our hearts, into our minds, into our lives, so that we could better follow you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. On June the 15th, 2013, 16-year-old Ethan Couch plowed his father's Ford F-350 into a group of people along a roadside outside of Fort Worth, Texas, who had stopped to help a stranded motorist. In his car, Couch had five of his buddies. He had stolen his dad's car. He had been drinking heavily alcohol as well as taking Valium. Four people were killed, the people who had stopped to help the stranded motorist, and several of his friends were critically injured. The first responders said what they saw when they arrived looked more like a plane wreck than a car wreck, with body and body parts strewn all over the highway. Just a year ago, Couch was released from prison. He spent no time in prison for the death of those four people. He was spending time in prison because he had violated his parole when he and his mom ran away to Mexico, and then they were brought back. The story may sound familiar. It was all over the news. He ended up serving a total of 720 days, 2 years, for this horrendous accident. Why? Why was this young man released and not held responsible for his actions? In the case, his lawyers argued that Couch was suffering from a disease, not alcoholism, not drug addiction. He was suffering from affluenza. Affluenza. They said affluenza was the product of growing up in a privileged household where there was nothing expected of him growing up. Everything was handed to him on a silver platter. He received gifts. He was never expected to help out. And so, of course, he had no sense of right or wrong or the consequences of his behavior. The psychologist hired by the defense team said in court, instead of the golden rule, which is do unto others as you would have them do unto you, he was taught, since we have the gold, we make the rules. And they argued that instead of going to jail, he should be treated for substance abuse. Affluenza. Putting together affluence and influenza, they've coined this term. The first time it came out was back in the 1970s, maybe. There was a PBS special about this in the late 90s, and several books came out in the early 2000s. But it was this court trial that really brought this term to the public's consciousness for the first time. The question is, if affluenza a real disease? One of the definitions is up there on the screen, that affluenza is extreme materialism and consumerism associated with placing a high value on money, possessions, appearances, physical and social appearances, and fame, resulting in a life of chronic dissatisfaction, debt, overworked stress, and impaired relationships. That's one definition. There are several others that are out there of this condition. Affluenza is one manifestation of what I would call toxic materialism, which is connected to this feeling that the things in our life are what will create a sense of happiness, purpose, and contentment. That ultimately we are material beings, and so, of course, material things are what will make us happy, and we need the material things of this world in order to survive and to thrive. That materialism is ultimately the measure of our life and our success. And so if this is true, then that would mean that as the amount of materialism increases, so would the sense of happiness, contentment, purpose, satisfaction. And yet, what we are finding is it's actually the opposite, that to a certain extent, as wealth and material things increase, there is a sense of, for many people, a sense of purpose, contentment, happiness, and joy. But there comes a point where there becomes an adverse relationship for many, many people. And in fact, they've studied this now, and something like 22% of the people in the English-speaking Western world, the wealthiest part of the world today, are fundamentally more unhappy, discontent, and suffering a higher amount of mental illness measurable than people in the developing, less wealthy world. You know, we've been talking about that, you know, what is going on in our society? This toxic environment that we seem to be living in that's making people around us in our homes, our own homes, sick. And again, there are lots of possible explanations around this. You know, the rise of technology and the lack of support and this and that and, you know, too much emphasis on the individual and some of the things we've been talking about. But I would argue that underneath of it is this strange adverse effect of affluence on our spirituality. When we begin to try to substitute materialism for what is essentially a spiritual condition, we are setting ourselves up for epic failure. We cannot fill ourselves as spiritual beings with the material things of this world and think that that is going to create contentment and peace. It simply doesn't fit. Because the reality is we are spiritual beings who are having a temporary material experience. We are not material beings who are conjuring up spiritual experiences. Let me explain what I mean. Materialists say that everything that we see, everything that we have, everything we touch is material, and everyone would agree with that, right? This is all matter. This is a thing of matter. But they go on to say, even those things that we cannot see and cannot touch are still a product of a material world. In other words, thoughts, ideas, emotions, inspiration, hunches, all of those things that we often say and we connect to a spiritual experience, materialists say, you are fooling yourselves. They are the product of very intricate biological and chemical processes that are fooling you into thinking that there is something beyond our material experience. But it's really just a product of the chemical reactions in your brain that are giving you this sense that there's something outside of yourself, something other than yourself, something different than yourself or this world in which we live. We are material. Everything about us, even our thoughts and our ideas, our dreams, our loves, are material things. Therefore, all we should strive for in this world is the material things of the world. More and better foods, more money, hoarding, buying, consuming, because all we are is material. And at the end of the day, our matter decays and goes back to the ground, and that is it. And yet, the reality is the material things of this world don't satisfy us. For many people, they simply create a deeper hunger for more and more and more. That never satisfies. And so, yes, I do think there is something that is to be said for toxic materialism, or if you want to call it affluenza. I think it is a real illness, a real sickness that has permeated our society and our culture. This unhealthy craving and desire and running after the things of this world that drive people and lead people to a place of emptiness and despair, for there is no satisfaction to be found. So, are you and your family suffering from affluenza? I know what some of you are thinking right now. I'm not that rich. I know people who are, but it's not me. We're just getting by. Friends, don't kid yourselves. Mere fact that you're sitting here this morning compared to the human beings living on planet Earth today, you are wealthy. We are rich. We live in the wealthiest society that has ever populated planet Earth. Even those of us living the most modest lifestyles are people who are well off, relatively speaking. And so we have to ask ourselves, are we buying into a culture of materialism? What is the message we're giving our children about what makes life worth living? I was just having a conversation recently with somebody who was talking about their three kids, and two of the kids were involved in scouting and doing a lot of activities with the scouting, but one of his sons just wasn't into the scouting thing. And so he said, you better start volunteering more at the church or other places, because you're not going to be able to show on your resume or your college thing that you're doing community service. So, you know, that's great. You know, you're encouraging your kid to involve in, but what's why? What's the motivation? The motivation is so that you can pad your college resume. Why? So you can get into a better college. Why? So you can have a better career. Why? So you can make more money. Why? So you can buy more things. Why? So you can be happier. That's the message. How many of us have bought into that message? How many of us are living that message today? Let's be honest with ourselves. That is the narrative in which we live our lives in this culture, in our society. Friends, that's affluenza. That's a sickness. To tell our kids that the reason that they ought to help other people is so that they ultimately can make more money is a sick message. It is unhealthy, and it will destroy our souls. So, what are some of the symptoms that we need to be paying attention to, particularly in our families and those of us who have the responsibility for raising healthy children? One, laziness. If your kids are lazy, it's probably because you don't expect enough of them, because you can afford to pay someone else to do things that the kids should be doing. Children should be expected to help around the house from the earliest ages possible. We call this word chores. Anybody remember chores? Chores is a good thing. It is the best thing. It is an essential thing in our homes to combat affluenza and laziness. Kids must be expected to help out, not for pay, not for an allowance, but because God has placed them in your care and in your family. They should be expected to help and to work. Set the table, clear the table, clean up their room, Saturday mornings was chore morning at the Heinzel Nelson house. Our kids hated Saturday mornings when they were kids. Clean the bathroom, we had the list, vacuum, wash, do this, that, make lunches. Go. They had jobs, they were expected to do things. They are so grateful today that they grew up in a home where they were expected to participate and contribute because they were part of the family. From the earliest ages. Secondly, go to church. You say, well, I am at church. Good, keep going to church. It's not about going to church. It's about orienting our lives around God, the great spiritual reality that holds our universe together, the non-material God who created our non-material spiritual essence. We need to reorient ourselves around a life of worship of God, not of things, not of money, not of homes, not of possessions. These things are not objects of worship, and yet we often treat them that way. We need to get back to a spiritual focus in our homes, in our lives, and in our communities. And that's why it's so important that we develop these rituals and habits, going to church, praying at mealtimes, praying in the morning, praying in the evening. Our worship must be of God and God alone. Listen to what the Scripture says to us. Scripture says, even though our outer nature, our material bodies are wasting away, our inner nature, our spiritual essence is being renewed day by day. For this life is a slight momentary affliction. A slight momentary affliction. But it's preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all measure, because we look, the children of God, we look at the things we cannot see. We look at the non-material realities that hold this universe together, because they are the things that are eternal. The material things are temporary. They don't last. We can't take it with us. We can't hold on to it. It does not last. But that which is spiritual, the unseen realities, they are the eternal things. And that is why worship, centering ourselves on Christ, on His Scripture, on His truth, on His reality, is so significant in battling toxic materialism in this toxic material culture that we find ourselves living in. Laziness, we need chores. Self-centeredness, we need God-centeredness. Lack of concern for others is one of the major symptoms of people suffering from affluenza. It's all about me. My comfort, what I like, my taste, my color, my schedule, my agenda. It's all about me. That's how people in affluent cultures live. We develop a mindset of entitlement. I deserve this. The world is here to work around my goals, my needs, my things. When too much is handed to us at an early age, it creates a mindset of entitlement. World owes us nothing. God owes you nothing. And so we combat that by insisting that we live lives in service to greater purposes than ourselves and our own comfort. I believe as parents, as responsible parents, one of the most important conversations we need to have with our children is why we are not going to spend more money on ourselves. We have enough. Our home is perfectly fine the way it is. We're not going to buy another new car. The one we have works just fine. But instead, kids, this is what we are going to do. Mom and Dad have decided that this year we are going to build a school in another country. We're going to invest in feeding people who are hungry. We're going to give more to the building up of the community of faith. Have those conversations at an early stage so your children understand that the money God has entrusted to you is not simply for your own comfort, pleasure, bigger, nicer, fancier. It's been given to you and entrusted to you so that you, as a good steward of God's good and gracious gifts, can make a difference in the lives of people who really are hurting. Talk to the kids. Get them involved. Take them with you. Come with us to Maine this summer. Do something as a family that begins to demonstrate the importance of what of a life well lived, and you're doing this simply because it's the right thing to do. You know, this toxic materialism, this affluenza, it doesn't create happiness. What it creates ultimately is loneliness. People becoming greater, more and more isolated because they're paying for other people to do the things that they ought to do. That just creates a sense of emptiness inside of us and loneliness. I believe that as we study the root causes of depression and anxiety in our system today, underneath of it all, for many people, is going to be the curse of affluence. And it's time that we did something about it. God, I pray for my brothers and sisters growing up in this wealthy part of the world, Lord, where there's so much temptation to hoard or to just increase our own comforts, our own sense of security, to take responsibility away from our children, to hand things to them. Oh God, help us not to buy in to the false narrative that this world is all that there is to live for. Help us, God, to focus on those unseen eternal realities that underlie everything that we see and that we have. God, we resist the lie that our hopes and dreams and inspirations and ideals are not some product of a material chemical reaction, but they come as a gift from you, the unseen, untouchable, non-material God who has given us this place, this beautiful place, as a temporary dwelling place, preparing us for something eternal and unseen that awaits us in you. Remind us of this, God. In Jesus' name, amen.